Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this September 16th, 2022, 10:06 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30 today, we're going to talk to our friends at Mid-State Technical College. We have Dr. Chris Severson joining us, Executive Dean of Academic and Professional Excellence and Campus Dean of the Wisconsin Rapids area. We're going to have a good time talking with Chris a little bit later. Joining us right now on the phone, State Senator Patrick Teston. Good morning, sir.
Hey, James. How are you?
Doing good. How you been?
Yeah, can't complain. Hopefully we'll have a better football weekend than we did last weekend after disappointing losses by the Wisconsin Badgers and the Packers, but hopefully we'll bounce back and be a good weekend.
Well, I was just got done talking to Terry Johns and was telling Terry that if you were a Wisconsin fan, you got the Get Right games this week, and you got New Mexico State coming to Camp Randall, and you got the Bears coming to Lambeau. Though, as a Bear fan, I'm telling you that you should be feeling really good come Monday. You guys should be pretty happy come Monday. Should be right. So that, hopefully there's that to look forward to, and there's a good weekend for everybody in store, because as we all know, you don't know how many of these nice weekends we got left. We're going to get a little rain this weekend. Hopefully you can enjoy it. And you've been I'm really thankful that you could join us, and that are you standing still right now, sir? Because every time I look at you on social media, you are somewhere else and you are bopping around. You've been all over the state in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, we've been staying busy. I took a little bit of a breather after the primary, and now getting back into it and meeting with different organizations and groups as we get ready to prepare for the next legislative session. And so, I've had the opportunity now in the last couple of weeks, met with the Beer Distributors of Wisconsin, met with the Surgical Centers of Association of Wisconsin to talk about a number of healthcare-related issues. And then just the other night, I was down in Madison. I'm a member of the Restaurant Caucus, which is legislators who have either worked in the restaurant industry at one point in their careers or currently do or work in a support industry. And a number of my colleagues got to basically sit down and have dinner with a number of restaurateurs from around the state to just talk about some of the issues that they're facing. And as you can imagine, a lot of it centers around trying to get a qualified workforce and to keep their doors open and lights on. And then also just some of the issues that they're facing with inflationary costs right now. It's a real struggle for a lot of small business owners across the state. But the silver lining in all this, though, is that despite some of the challenges that many of them are facing, many of them are having tremendous years right now, which is a good sign despite some of the challenges that we're currently facing on the horizon.
It's an interesting place to take us for the opening topic here, because it kind of does tie into some things that I did want to bring up with you. And I noticed this certainly in Wisconsin, but most of the Midwestern states have done a little bit better as far as like local businesses, small businesses, your mom and pop, that typical term, did better coming out of the pandemic than most. And I find this kind of interesting, and I don't see it really being talked about nationally very much, but the idea of, and the pandemic happens and immediately we've got our United Way. We've got the United Way, and I even heard in Illinois doing this, where promoting buying local, supporting local, and doing our best to do that. And that I think that early on focus really helped. I don't want to make light of anybody that did lose a business or anything like that during the pandemic, but we had so much. It could have been so much more. It could have been so much worse.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've been very fortunate, especially here in Wisconsin, where, we've weathered the storm. We weathered the pandemic. The government response to the pandemic fairly well. And while it was a struggle for many businesses, unfortunately, some didn't make it through. But by and large, I think people stepped up in a great way to support local businesses and to really, do what they can to help some of these individuals who are really struggling to make ends meet. And as we kind of see light at the end of the tunnel and as we get life back to normal here, I'm encouraged by what we're seeing, especially when we take a look at just our revenue projections here in the state of Wisconsin. Going into this next biennial budget, we're projected to have a nearly $5 billion surplus, which is phenomenal. I mean, compare that to some of our Midwestern neighbors. I mean, we have done exceptionally well, and I think that's just because we've been very wise in how we have managed our state dollars and making sure that, you know, we're not having excessive taxes and regulations on our middle class, our small business community. And I think there's an opportunity for us to continue with more tax reform to provide more relief and hopefully spur the economy and hopefully get us out of the recession waters that we're currently treading in.
This is where it kind of leads into what I wanted to bring up, because I always, especially, you know, we know way ahead of time when you guys are going to be joining us. So I like to survey the community. I like to talk to people and find out if you could talk to Senator Teston, is there a question you have for him? And I have a good group of friends. I got red, blue friends, purple friends, got them all. And every one of them, coming from maybe wording things differently, but every one of them had questions, and they really, it centers around going to Governor Evers and the mill and the situation with that. And certainly this is something we've talked about ad nauseum. And I would imagine that if there was any new news about the mill, we would have heard it. You guys would have, you and Representative Krug would have put out a press release or something like that. But if there is anything, please share it with us. I would love to hear it. But as it is, we're still in a standoff. We're still in this situation. And you've got a lot of Central Wisconsin families, again, red and blue, that I talk to, that are curious about this, are curious if there's going to be anything, if there is any light at the end of the tunnel, if anything's going to happen with this. My question isn't about the mill. My question is, how do you get people in Madison to hear us here? Because it isn't as if they don't do anything. I mean, again, red and blue do plenty of things throughout the state. But this is an issue that, since I've lived in this area, has been an issue.
Yeah, no, and I'm glad you brought that up, because this continues to be a very sore point of contention for me. Because, you know, when we talk about specifically the mill in Wisconsin Rapids, I mean, you know, in years past, when you talk about issues related to central Wisconsin, or specifically in Wisconsin Rapids, you know, a lot of folks down in Madison wouldn't really bat an eyelash. But when the mill closed back in June of 2020, it raised a lot of eyebrows for a lot of folks all across the state, and a lot of our colleagues, both Republican and Democrat, which was why we were so encouraged early on in the wake of a closure, that, you know, so many people came to the table to work together in a bipartisan fashion, stakeholders from the federal, state, local, and community partners, to really try and do what we can to help these families that were going to be impacted, but then also try and find solutions that we could put forward to find a new buyer or get the mill reopened. And so, back in July of 2021, we worked on the bipartisan legislation, myself, Representative Krug, Representative Shanklin, and many others. And, this was legislation that was going to use some of the federal dollars that were coming into the state of Wisconsin that were being given to the governor's administration to help with, economic relief and rapid response for the pandemic. And, you know, what was unfortunate was that, you know, we had conversations with Governor Evers, and he said, if you come up with an idea and get it to my desk, I will sign the bill into law. And we said, great, give us time. We'll see what comes down from the feds. And when, you know, the state was going to receive nearly $2 billion in federal money, we figured this would be a great opportunity to provide a loan using some of these federal dollars to find a new buyer to reopen the mill. So bill passed with bipartisan support. It got to the governor's desk, and unfortunately it got vetoed. And the reason why it got vetoed, he said it was an inappropriate use of the federal dollars from the American Recovery Plan Act. But what's really frustrating from my perspective is that at the same time the governor says that was an inappropriate use, he has used this money to provide loans, not even loans, but grants to cities like Park Falls, who also faced a paper mill closure, to give them a new YMCA. Now, I don't know about you, James, but I'd rather have that money go to a wealth-generating mill that will be here for years to come and for generations to come, and ensure that our paper industry remains vibrant here in the state. And so, you know, we hear rumors all the time that there are conversations being had behind closed doors about the potential future of the mill. And we continue to keep our ear to the ground and remain steadfast and ready to provide any opportunities and solutions and legislation that may be necessary to provide an incentive package to get this mill opened back up.
Is there work being done to counter this situation if the mill isn't going to be back and running to try to create more economy, more jobs here?
Well, it remains to be seen. I mean, obviously the new owners of the mill, we don't have a real clear picture of what they want to do with the mill, if they want to reopen it, if they don't. Like I said, I mean, I've heard rumors that they want to open the mill back up. I've heard rumors that, you know, there are no future plans. So it remains to be seen. But first and foremost, we need them to be willing to come to the table and at least have a conversation and give us an idea of what they want to do. And from there, you know, myself, Representative Krug, and others, we can take that back to our colleagues in the legislature and say, look, here's the need. What can we do to help incentivize, whether it's to reopen the mill, provide capital to help them, you know, retool the mill to create new product lines, what have you. I mean, like I've said from day one, you know, my goal is to hopefully get that mill open back up, because it is an awful shame that this is a mill that has, you know, been around for generations, survived two world wars, a Great Depression, countless recessions and economic downturns. And I would be just shocked if we can't find some solution to get open back up again.
So I was doing a little homework this weekend for the interview, and I was looking at the history of governors in Wisconsin. And the majority of them have, you know, Republican, Democrat, I think you can go down the line and find a pretty even keel there. But the majority of them have been from other parts of the state outside of the center part of the state. And I look back and I'm digging and I keep on seeing, even going back to Martin Schreiber back in 77, who was a Democratic governor, of issues with this, of not being, of central Wisconsinites feeling like they are not being heard in Madison. I think this changes a bit with Tommy Thompson. You can say that Governor Doyle did some similar things too, I'm seeing here, but outside of that, I'm scraping the barrel here. So this seems like this has been an issue for a very long time. Again, how do we get Madison to hear central Wisconsin?
Well, we need to use our bullhorns. And yeah, I mean, the only governor that I can think of that, you know, came specifically from the center of the state was Lee Sherman Dreyfus back in the 70s. Yeah. You know, the chancellor of UWSP ran a long shot bid for governor, and lo and behold, was successful. And so, you know, it's we've got to do a much better job of selling our story here in this region. And, you know, there's a reason why I came to central Wisconsin. I mean, I grew up in Marinette, Wisconsin, northeast, right on the Wisconsin-UP border. And when I came to school at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, I realized this is home. I mean, this is such a great area of our state. There's so much to do. There's so many things to offer people. And, you know, I think we've done a decent job, especially in recent years, to tell that story, but we can always do better. Mm-hmm. And I think the more that we can do to promote and highlight what we have here, whether it's our what industries we have, when we talk about, you know, things like our paper industry, when we talk about things like some of the great employers, whether it's Century Insurance or Delta Dental, the university, Mid-State Technical College, and others, the more that we can do to highlight what we have, I think it's only going to attract and entice people, because outside of just what we have for careers and job opportunities, I mean, the way of life, our recreational opportunities are great. If you're a golfer, I mean, good gosh, you couldn't think of a better place to go right now when you've got Century World, Arrowhead, you've got Sand Valley, we've got the Wisconsin River. If you want to fish, you want to hunt, I mean, the opportunities are endless.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. Senator, recently you had the pleasure to welcome the Associates of Wisconsin Surgery Centers to Stevens Point for the annual conference. How did that go?
It went great. And so our surgery center is, you know, it's a great delivery model. And we do such a phenomenal job oftentimes of getting people in and out the door with, you know, very complex procedures, whether it's knee replacements, hip replacements. And, you know, it's one of those where they're also facing challenges both as a medical provider, but also as employers, you know, whether it's dealing with the rising cost of providing health care, health insurance costs. I mean, but what's really unique about these is that, you know, their delivery model is really a cost saver for the state. In 2019, they saved the taxpayers roughly $57 million in cost savings in Medicare alone. And why that's such a big deal, and again, as I always point back and talk about, you know, our aging demographics, as our population continues to age, well, this is also, you know, the older population tend to use a higher proportion of medical services and need medical services and procedures. And so, you know, this is a great way, and it's not always about the dollars and cents that we can pinch and save, but, you know, when we can provide high quality care and save taxpayers money, it's a win-win for everyone. And so, you know, my pitch to them was, you know, we've got to do more to create more opportunities, create more residencies for medical professionals to receive their training here in the state and then retain that workforce, and then doing what we can to make sure that, you know, we're easing up any backlogs over at the Department of Professional Licensing Services, which has been having some significant troubles right now getting people licensed and reauthorized. And so we've got a few hurdles that we have to get over, but I told them if I'm back in the chairmanship for the health committee next session, which I hope to be, I'm going to be looking forward to working with them to address some of these issues and then doing what we can to ensure that we continue to have a great healthcare system here in the state.
I also noticed that you and Grant, I don't believe that you had any of your kids at Stevens Point that you were dropping off, but I noticed that you're helping out a little bit over at last weekend or a couple weekends ago, the kids going back to the UW campus.
Yeah. Every year since I've been in office, I invite to go with the cabinet and other top leaders over at the university to help the new students, the dorms. And it's such a great opportunity because it's on a carpet for these new community members of Central Wisconsin. And you know, it's always great to see the excitement and the anticipation and the students' eyes. And, of course, every once in a while you're going to see moms and dads who get a little teary-eyed as they're, you know, dropping their kids off for the first time and really the beginning of their adulthood. But it's always fun for me, you know, being an alumni of UWSP. I lived in Thompson Hall on the north end of campus for 2 years in my freshman and sophomore year. It never ceases to amaze me because I can remember when I first moved into the dorms back in the fall of 06. And I remember when I opened up my dorm room for the first time, I'm thinking, holy cow, this is great. It's such a big room. I can't believe this. This is mine. And I actually got to help a student move into my very first dorm room in Thompson Hall, north wing of room 408. And I opened up the door. I'm looking around. I'm like, I lived in here for 2 years. Are you kidding me? This place is grand. I can't believe I survived this. How do we not kill each other?
Yeah.
But it just goes to show, you know, when it's you're an 18-year-old freshman going into college, you know, you take what you can get and be thankful for it. But, you know, looking back on it, having moved in a couple of refrigerators in some of these dorm rooms, I don't know if I could do another 2 years in a dorm room.
Yeah, right, yeah. When you're that young, you know, it might as well be a mansion. You're so happy to have some space into your own spot, and then, you know, you get to be an adult. Looking back at it, it is a little hard to imagine how we pulled that off. That's cool to hear. Really good to hear. I did want to wrap up with, because I know that they are not taking nominations anymore, but every year we talk about the Maine and Wisconsin nominees and representing some of our own middle of the state here. And we've got a great local nominee that is up there for the running this year.
Yeah, so the Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce, every year they do the coolest in Maine, Wisconsin. So you know, companies and products get nominated in every corner of the state. And so every year we've nominated someone right from the district. And this year I nominated the cheese curds that are made by Phelps Dairy Store.
Here. Yes.
Yeah, they are phenomenal. And if anyone who hasn't been, they're in the town of Plover, Phelps Dairy Store, kind of behind the Walmart area in Crossroads Commons. But so the Phelps Dairy Farm, they've been in operation 5 generations, a tremendous family. I can't talk highly enough about them. They're just so down to earth, very involved in the community. And so I actually, for the last couple of years, they have been making their own cheese curds. They used to get them from Dairy State over in Rudolph, who also make very good, great cheese curds. But their son, Jake, was going through the process of becoming a cheesemaker. And so, you know, he was tinkering with different recipes for a long time and then really honed in on just what I can only describe as just home run cheese curds.
Yeah.
And actually, I got the opportunity on one of my on the jobs to help make their very first legal batch of cheese curds after their license had been approved by DATCAP.
Wow.
And they sell them both fresh. They are the squeakiest. They're just, oh my gosh, they're fantastic. And they also at the store, they do make a deep fried cheese curds as well, which are, again, phenomenal. So I figured, you know what? You know, let's throw them up there. I think we've got one of the best cheesemakers here in the state. They make some of the best cheese curds, and I hope they've got the chance here to be one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin this year.
Well, if the judges try them, I feel like it's going to be hard not to vote for them. I mean, they're some incredible cheese curds. They really are. They also do a good job with their corn maize. My daughter and I are actually going to go check that out next week. We neither of us have ever done a corn maize, so we're both excited about it. We're going to check that out, too. Great people over there at Phelps' Dairy Store, too. Just as good as the products they make.
Yeah, well, what was really fun a few weeks ago, so there's been a collaboration formed between the city of Stevens Point and Maui in Hawaii.
Hmm.
And so this all kind of was created organically with the partnership with the tournaments of champions between that Century Insurance helps put on for golf. And so as a result of this partnership that's formed, a delegation from Maui came to Stevens Point a few weeks ago, and, you know, they're touring central Wisconsin and some of the different highlights and what we have to offer. And I think the game plan moving forward is next year a delegation from central Wisconsin will go to Maui, and then the following year they'll come to Stevens Point. But I did, when the delegation came here, because you had, you know, government officials, you had others that were here, community leaders, I told them, because, you know, they don't have a big dairy-based diet out in Hawaii, but I told them, you have to go to Phelps Dairy Store. You've got to get cheese curds, and sure enough, they did. And I actually got an email from one of the individuals who was on the delegation. He made it back. He's like, these were incredible. So I'm hoping maybe there may be an opportunity here to spur some trade missions and get some Wisconsin dairy products over at Hawaii.
I think that's a darn good idea. That sounds pretty good. And it sounds like a win-win for everybody, especially economically. You got a good weekend lined up?
Yeah, actually, tonight I'm going to be heading over to Western Wisconsin, going to be doing an event for one of our candidates who's running in the 31st Senate District, which covers a good chunk of Eau Claire and west of there. But then I think tomorrow my wife and I are going to be going to Pointoberfest at the Point Brewery, and going to go listen to some music, have a couple cold beverages, and just enjoy the fantastic fall weather. Hopefully watching the Badgers, and hopefully three. So
yeah,
it's going to be a jam-packed weekend of music, football, and hopefully some good times.
Senator, if we always appreciate the time. If people have follow-up questions or just want to be able to reach out to you, how can they do that?
Yeah, if anyone needs to get a hold of me, you can reach out to my Senate office. Our phone number is 608-266-3123, or you can shoot us an email at sen.mylastnametested.gov. And, of course, you can Facebook, Twitter. And if you've got questions, comments, concerns, ideas, our door is always open, and look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you for the time, sir. You have a great weekend.
You as well.
Again, a big thank you to State Senator Patrick Teston for joining us. Always appreciate the time. Stick around, everybody. Part two of Morning Magazine coming up with Dr. Chris Severson from Mid-State Technical College right here on WFHR.